Hey, it's episode 435 of the 343 podcast, and today's episode is all about I told you so. I told you this is what MLS was going to do. I told you this is what U.S. soccer, corruptly controlled by MLS, was going to do. Specifically, shoving an MLS lapdog down our throats. This episode is all about the announcement of the new U23 Olympic coach, Steve Cherundolo. You need to listen in, you need to tune in, because you need to understand how the system works, how the machine works, how the sausage is made, and how you are being manipulated, and how you can immunize yourself from being manipulated. Speaking about getting good information for you as a coach or you as a parent, coaches, you need to go to 343coaching.com. There are free and premium programs for you there. How do you know whether this is a good program for you, yes or no? Well, we eat our own dog food. We have been coaches for multiple decades and have done pioneering and remarkable work here in the United States of America, from U9 up through graduating youth players to the college ranks to the professional ranks. And we also have worked in the professional ranks for the better part of a decade. So we've seen all the cycles, all the ages, just everything under the sun. So yeah, when it comes to who you should be learning from, I have no qualms about promoting our own stuff, which is, by the way, what sponsors this podcast. We don't accept any other sponsors. So coaches, do yourself the biggest favor of your entire careers and go to 343coaching.com. There are free programs and premium programs for you there. If you've known us for a long period of time and you know what we're about, you know the work that we have accomplished, you should hop on board the premium program. Don't even wait. Dive headfirst into it. And parents, the same goes for you. With all our experience, we've codified it and tailored a program just for you so you can better guide and mentor your kids. That is at 343masterclass.com. 343masterclass.com is where you want to go. And coaches who are coaching in the 7v7 format, you should go to 7v7coaching.com. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoy this critically important episode about the American soccer media. Here we go.
Before we talk anything Steve Cherundolo, they slotted him to lead us into the Olympics. Before we talk about any of that, Gary, and why that's important and why that matters, this is something that we've talked about a lot, and you've said this for many years, that MLS runs U.S. soccer. And we've brought that up numerous times in our podcast episodes. But I think before we begin our discussion today, it's critically important for the audience to have a good understanding of what that actually means. Because we've said that many times, and if you go look at the comments, people are still saying, no, what are you talking about? How could that be? MLS wouldn't run U.S. soccer. U.S. soccer is the boss. You're crazy, Gary. So I think before we start, maybe give us a good explanation of what you really mean by MLS runs U.S. soccer.
Okay, so let's lay the groundwork here. U.S. soccer, also known as the U.S. Soccer Federation. Every country has a federation, which is essentially or effectively the governing body of that country's footballing ecosystem. It is the regulator of that country's footballing ecosystem. And it is what is in charge of the national teams as well. Okay, so it's both those functions, both those roles. And what has happened here in the United States is that MLS has accrued so much power in the sense that it is a monopoly on the first division of soccer here in this country, which is very different than the first division of other countries. The first division of other countries are run by an organization as well, but it doesn't effectively own all the teams. All the teams are in separate entities that are clubs that operate on their own, completely separate, right, from the organizer of the first division there. And so there is a distribution of power, okay, which also comes with promotion and relegation. So the first tier of football, or all of professional football all across the world, operates on an open ecosystem where people earn their way up and down via sporting merit. In the United States, and this is important, I'm going to get to your answering the question. In the United States, we don't have that. We have one single company known as MLS, which runs the entire show of the first division of football, and there is no promotion relegation. There is no open ecosystem whatsoever. So I can go down that trail even more and more and more, but hopefully that's sufficient for people to appreciate the power that MLS accrues as a consequence of that versus other countries. So then what ends up happening is they get to bully around the governing body. They get to bully the regulator of the ecosystem, because imagine that you are the president of the federation, the president of U.S. soccer, or an executive of U.S. soccer, or anybody associated at those high levels of U.S. soccer, even the national team manager, the youth national team coaches, everybody at U.S. soccer. They know that MLS is supremely powerful, and they don't want to cross MLS as a consequence of that. Because if you go against the wishes of the monopoly, those people who are operating and employed at a very high level in this ecosystem may not have a career afterwards, or may effectively find their way shown the door. Okay, so they're gone. So imagine the current U.S. soccer president is this chick by the name of Cindy Parlow Cohn, and there are the executives, JT Batson's the CEO, so on and so forth. Imagine, put yourself in their shoes, or former national team players who have some sort of role to play, or even the media, but we'll get there later. Imagine you're in their shoes, and you know that if you don't do MLS's bidding when it really counts, when it really matters, when MLS really cares, you won't find yourself employed at a high level in football anymore because it's monopolized. You are effectively blackballed. So this is the prime mechanism, right? The primary incentive for those in charge of U.S. soccer. They can't cross particular lines with MLS.
How is it possible, though, that MLS has accrued this much power? I mean, wouldn't you think that if U.S. soccer is the governing body of the country, wouldn't they not allow this type of stuff to happen? Like, how did MLS infiltrate U.S. soccer to now say, hey, guys, actually, we're going to be pulling the strings here?
Well, it's little by little, right? Power doesn't immediately accrue, right? You sap away, you gain more and more and more as time goes on. I mean, the original sin, right, is U.S. soccer, the federation, enabling MLS to be a single entity, enabling them to operate as a monopoly from inception. And the argument here from those who protect MLS and protect the establishment, they're like, well, Gary, you had to do that in the beginning to jumpstart the league, to jumpstart soccer, because if it was a free-for-all, it's not as stable, right? They throw out the stability argument. This is what gives you stability, right? One company, everybody's aligned, give them full power to do whatever it is that they need to do to quote-unquote survive, right? Because they always say, oh, soccer is very hostile in the United States. It's the third or fourth or fifth most or sixth most important. It's not even a top four sport in the country. They need as much help as they can get. So that was the original sin, if you will, Benny, is to fully, the federation, the governing body, the regulator, fully giving MLS everything and anything that it needed. And so there's that power creep over the course of years, where U.S. soccer kept giving them to the detriment of any other would-be competitor or any other would-be soccer interest in the company. So they, over the course of time, concentrated all authority and all power to the league. And it got to a point where even if now they wanted to do something different, you can't anymore.
I think it's important to also say that, obviously, Don Garber, right, MLS commissioner, what's his position with U.S. soccer, Gary? Or what has been his position for the past 20 years? On the board, right? Or in a high executive position. So how can you have the commissioner of the league, the monopoly, and they're on the board of U.S. soccer? Like, that kind of screams corruption there, no?
Well, there's questions of conflict of interest. And it's not just Garber. It's a whole group there, but he is kind of the figurehead because he's the commissioner of the league. And yes, Benny, I don't have it off the top of my head how many years, but it's been decades, right? It's been on the order of 20 years or more since the commissioner of the league, the face of the league, is on the board of directors of U.S. soccer. And in the board of directors also, Ben, people tend to think that there's an equality of power. Oh, well, there's this other guy, Gary, who's not on MLS, who's in the board of directors, but there is no equality of power and there is no equal representation. So you could potentially have people on the board of directors who are not MLS people, but they don't have the same power, the same block of power as the MLS people do.
All right. So now, Gary, with that context in mind, let's talk about this whole Steve Chirandolo thing, getting named to the U23's U.S. national team before the World Cup. And I'm going to inject this clip right here for the audience sake. But before the World Cup, or actually, I think it was after the first game, we were recording a podcast and I brought up an article from The Guardian that said Pochettino might get his contract renewed, or U.S. soccer made an offer to Pochettino. And immediately you said, whoa, slow down. I know what they're doing. This is the playbook that they like to run. This doesn't mean anything. Potentially, they made a shit offer to Pochettino just so that they can say, hey, guys, we made an offer, just to save face, basically.
There's so many things to say here. Number one, you can't trust anything that the mainstream media writes. That's the first and foremost, okay? So even if this is put out there, who the fuck knows what's real, what's not real? They're all a bunch of fucking vile liars. Okay. And the biggest way that they lie is lying by omission. We covered this in the last episode, meaning they don't tell you the whole truth. They give you something factual. So maybe it is factual that US soccer extended an offer, right? Maybe that is factual, but maybe these reporters or whatever also know that the offer is fucking shit, the worst thing on earth. And let me tell you why this is important, because US soccer gets to save face now. So they're extending an offer, and then Pochettino, obviously, if it's a shit offer, Pochettino will turn it down. And then U.S. soccer, from a PR perspective, is like, well, we tried, guys. We tried to keep the guy. You know, it's just, you know, he had other plans and went somewhere else. So they come out looking like they did their job and they were the good guys. And it's the big bad foreigner that rejected us. There's all these games that get played, Ben. And this Athletic, this magazine, whatever the fuck, it's trash, by the way. You're getting stupider by reading the Athletic. They might know what the offer is, and they don't say what the offer is for those reasons. And how do you think they get their information? The Monopoly gives them their information. Why? Because they want this leaked. Why? Potentially for the reason that I just gave you. This is how this works, guys.
And now they're bringing in a U23 coach, Steve Chirandolo, an MLS guy. We'll get to what defines him as an MLS guy in a bit. But why is this so important, Gary? And your specific tweet was, this pretty much confirms that Pochettino won't be staying. Because if he was, wouldn't Pochettino want to put somebody from his own circle into that position, right? So
yeah,
let us have it.
There's a ton to unpack here, a ton. And there's all little rabbit holes and cubby holes that we need to get into in order to plug the natural objections that people listening or watching will have. And those natural objections come from, one, not really knowing how all this works, which is understandable, but two, they primarily consume mainstream media, which is all puppeted by the monopoly as well. So that's why everybody has these initial immediate objections. So this is, you know, there's a lot to unpack. Let's see. I guess we can start with, even before the announcement, right, or the report that Pochettino was made an offer by U.S. soccer, even before that, we've been saying almost on every podcast episode here, Benny, how the establishment will comport itself depending on the U.S. men's national team's performance. Yes, because they execute on public perception. They execute on their principal driver, which is consolidation of power, even more power than they already have. So what I always said going into the World Cup is that if Pochettino's team, the U.S. men's national team, is quote unquote successful, and what successful and outrageous success would be reaching a semifinal. Okay, that would have been the dream scenario. If that had happened, then MLS/US soccer would claim all credit for that success. See, we know what we're doing. We hired the right guy. We're doing everything perfect here in the United States. The future we've been telling you is bright. Now it's proven to you that the future is bright, and it's going to be even brighter. Give us even more power. They manufacture consent of the public to give them even more power than they already have. So I didn't want that scenario. So I didn't want the U.S. men's national team to get to a semifinal. If you go the complete opposite end of the spectrum and the U.S. men's national team was a failure at this World Cup, and we can discuss what that means, then the narrative would be Oh, see, you guys wanted a big bad foreigner here. We told you that was a mistake. We told you it's a mistake to hire a Pep Guardiola, a Mourinho, a Bielsa, a Mauricio Pochettino, whatever, and pay them all this money. You public are stupid. They're not going to call us stupid, but effectively, these are the storylines. Shut the fuck up. We are the ones who know what we're doing. Shut your mouth. We have all the political capital now to go ahead and hire MLS lapdog, which further consolidates power to the monopoly again. So on both ends of the spectrum, they already had their preset narratives and their preset actions that they were going to take. And I wanted something kind of in the middle. And what was in the middle was maybe a quarterfinal appearance, because then it's hard for them to cite success. It's hard for them to cite failure. And then the culture war, the public would have at it with a battle of ideas. So they don't know how to handle that situation, which is kind of where we find ourselves today, as everybody can see. The U.S. men's national team did spectacularly well in the group phase. Everybody who even hated Pochettino, who bought into the MLS narratives, was in love with Pochettino. Wow, this is amazing, incredible. They were in love with the players, in love with everything. And even the reporters and journalists went overboard especially after the Bosnia game, about how Mauricio Pochettino is the man. This is what we always needed. And by them going overboard, they kind of unwittingly burned their own narrative of the big bad foreigner is the problem. And so now, since they got eliminated by Belgium, they don't know exactly what to do. They can't call Pochettino the problem, even though some are kind of starting to try to do that, Benny. I don't know if you've seen. So they can't, it's hard for them. It's hard to sell, have the public swallow that pill. And so what have they done? They've gone ahead and started blaming the players. They started immediately pointing the finger at the youth system, right? They started immediately blaming it everywhere except the monopoly. So now it brings us to the Chirundolo situation.
Before we get there?
Go ahead.
No, because I've been seeing the media as well. Listen, even though I think Pochettino had a great World Cup, he did the maximum extent of what he could with the players that he had. But again, they're still trying to point the finger at Pochettino. There's a guy from Fox Soccer who's big on X, okay, Doug McIntyre, Gary, I'm sure you've seen him. He says, landing Mauricio Pochettino to lead the USMNT was a triumph. Okay, so, hey, look, guys, we got a fucking great manager. It was amazing. We did it. But then he goes on to say, rehiring the coach who oversaw the most humiliating World Cup loss in program history would be indefensible. So there it is, Gary. They're used because we got, quote unquote, humiliated by Belgium. Now it's Pochettino's fault. And now if we rehire him, that's indefensible. You know, so they're making themselves look good no matter what, right? It's sick.
He is a puppet. He is a parasite. Okay. And supposedly he's like a quote unquote journalist. This shows you that he's not a journalist. He is a parasite. He is a grifter. He is somebody who has no skills whatsoever aside from being a propagandist for the monopoly. And for his own survival to have any sort of livelihood in any arena of life, because he has no skills, is to do precisely this. They feed him this sort of stuff, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a direct feed. Hey, Doug, you need to say X, Y, and Z. Here's a draft of the tweet that you need to put out, or here's the draft. They don't do that, okay? It's just self-preservation, their own incentives, which has been fostered for years and years and years, drive them to know this is what I need to do to survive all of this. I can't go out there and start saying, even if I have a different truth, even if he knows he's lying here, he can't go out there and say what the truth is, which is what a journalist is supposed to do. A journalist, in my estimation, and people should do some research as to what the charter of a true journalist is, what is the platonic form of a journalist? It's not to have opinions. Why are you going out there and writing opinions? Aren't you supposed to just, hey, report facts? You know, give some context based on facts, right, to that, and not inject your biases. But they can still defend. It's all word games with these people. They can still defend, well, Gary, that's exactly what Doug did. No, it's not. So anyway, where was I? You wanted to introduce the Shirundalo thing and you, okay. So the offer. So, you brought up in an episode early on weeks ago. Oh, look, Gary, it looks like they made an offer to Pochettino to stay on for another 4 years for the full cycle to whatever. And I'm like, bro, chill. Whoa. This is so obvious. I've worked with these people for years and years and years directly, personally. I know how they operate and I know their incentives. Let me tell you exactly what they're doing. They're probably gave him a shit offer that they know Pochettino won't accept or will never accept or is outrageously unlikely to accept. And the reason that they do that is so that then they can have the narrative already preset to feed a Doug McIntyre and all these Muppets. Look, we tried to get him back, everybody. All half the U.S. soccer loving public or three quarters or whatever it is, even if they love Pochettino, guys, we did our best. We tried. We made him an offer. You saw it was reported. We made him an offer. He just rejected us. He doesn't want to be here. So it's not on us. And there's various mechanisms to make an offer that somebody like Pochettino will not accept. Number one is money, but it's not a money thing. I promise you it's not a money thing. It's a control thing. Any manager worth a grain of salt, okay, will demand for a four-year World Cup construction project or preparation project or building project will command or say, I need control. Control over A, B, C, D, and E. What those A, B, C, D, and E things depend, you know, on what the manager thinks he needs. But one thing for sure, with 100% certainty, Benny, they need control of the youth national teams because the youth national teams are the feeder and the pipeline for what happens up above, okay? Especially like the U20 and U23 teams, because those are of the age where you can have a play, you know, there's a player pool there where you can get a player or two or three to come to the top, the senior team. And if the manager has aspirations or ambition to kind of revolutionize the country's football, like a Bielsa, like these big time managers, they don't just do it for the senior team. They do it for the bigger picture. And if you want to do it for the bigger picture, you need that youth national team pipeline under your wing. So now we finally get to the Shirundalo announcement. 3 days after the senior team gets eliminated, just three days, they make this announcement. Oh, Shirundalo, an MLS guy, by the way, and we can get into that, is the U23 Olympic national team coach. There was no rush. The Olympics is 2 years from now, Benny, and there is no qualification process that the Olympic team has to go through to qualify to go to the Olympics. We're the host. There is no rush to hire the Olympic team coach. Why a mere 3 days after the U.S. senior team gets eliminated, bam, they hire this guy? There is zero reason to do that, except one. There's zero sporting reason, except one, which is not sporting. And it's to sabotage the Mauricio Pochettino thing. Because Pochettino would be like, what the fuck? I'm not taking the senior job. This is ridiculous. What? That's not my guy. Oh, Gary, who would you hire for the U23? Nobody wants that job. That's nonsense. You're thinking too small. Pochettino can get one of his assistants, first assistant, second assistant, or whatever, to take over the Olympic team. Or Pochettino can get on the phone to any one of hundreds of colleagues that he has around the world that he knows, likes, trusts, understands is a top-level practitioner who isn't like a senior team coach, who isn't a first division La Liga coach or premier. Like, those guys won't take the job, of course. But what about guys who just maybe are starting out their coaching career that are really good and know him and want to work with him? What about somebody like maybe, I don't know, Scaloni's assistants? It could be Raton Ayala. It could be Pablo Aimar. It could be Walter Samuel, you know, Scaloni's assistants. Maybe they're too big to take the Olympic team, but maybe not. because they've never been first team coaches. They've never been head coaches. They've only been assistant coaches to Scaloni. So there is outrageous options there for Pochettino to bring in his guy to lead that effort. But no, just 3 days, they hire this guy.
You're saying the timing is to sabotage any potential possibility of Pochettino coming back on. 3 days later, after we get eliminated, the World Cup is still going on. Like you said, the Olympics are not for another 2 years. There's time. The announcement didn't need to be made fucking 2 days ago.
The hire didn't need to be made at all.
Right.
You can wait a whole other year to hire somebody for the Olympic team. What's the rush now? And the main rush is what you just said. But more important than that is the World Cup generates outrageous amounts of media on a daily basis. So they can slip this thing under the radar and it won't make that big a news event. And people will just be like, oh, whoa, what the fuck? They'll talk about it for like 6 hours until the next World Cup game. Then everybody's talking about Spain versus Belgium. Everybody's talking about France versus Morocco. And everybody's going to talk about the semifinals. And everybody's going to talk about finals. So you go from now until July 19th of the final. And then after July 19th of the final, there'll still be a buzz about the World Cup and everybody's talking about things or whatever. So the Shrundalo thing is buried under the heavyweight news that is everything else. So imagine if you try to slip in the Shrundalo news after there is no soccer news in the world. There is no soccer news in American soccer. And they drop this. Now, everybody and their mom is going to be talking about this bullshit hire.
Is there any possibility, Gary? And I know it sounds crazy, but is there any possibility that U.S. soccer came to Pochettino and said, hey, Mauricio, here's our short list of candidates for the U23 team. Here's 10 guys. Pick your best one. Is there any possibility that that happened?
I don't think so. No, man. No. Zero. People at U.S. Soccer /MLS, remember, MLS corruptly controls U.S. soccer. They know what the time is. They know what's up, man. They know that what Pochettino would want. They've probably already had conversations with Pochettino a long time ago, not now. So you're asking me, you think Pochettino said, oh, yeah, Steve Shrundalo. Yeah, no problem. Come on. I don't even know if he knows who the fuck Steve Shrundalo is.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? They presented him with the list of 5 guys and said, all right, here's everything about this guy. Like, they didn't say, Mauricio, who do you want as a U23? And he comes out and says, Shrundalo, I love that guy. No chance, bro.
Yeah.
No chance.
No, but these people are smart. They know that's retarded. Oh, Mauricio, here's our 5 shortlist guys for the U23. They know that Mauricio will be like, what the fuck are you doing? Get the fuck out of my face. That would be the stupidest thing ever. Because it doesn't work that way.
I had to ask. You know, I'm a positive thinker. So.
I'm a positive thinker, too. I'm just laying out the incentives. This is how the machine works.
I understand. Let's get into, people are saying that Shrundalo's not really an MLS guy, right? Mm-hmm. He played 15 years in the Bundesliga, and then he coached out there. And then he came back to USL, but then he had, I don't know, what was it, 4 years with LAFC? So people are like, one of the comments to your post was, what the fuck are you talking about? 15 years in the Bundesliga, team captain, 87 caps for the USMNT, 3 World Cups. He knows CONCACAF, knows Germany. This one's stupid. No Akai Banks have any meaning. So people are trying to come out and say, no, this is not an MLS guy. And by the way, this guy knows our player pool better than Pochettino and better than any coach in this country. So yes, he should be the guy.
Yeah. This is how they get away with concentration of power. This is how they get away with things, Benny, is because their primary demographic, their target demographic, doesn't know any of the things that we've been discussing. They have no concept of any of this. And so how do they get away with it in this particular case with Steve Shrundalo? They know that the public is, forgive me, because they think you're all dumb, right? And in many respects, unfortunately, you're just not that educated in the machine and not educated in football. They know that Shrundalo's CV, his resume, people will buy that he's not an MLS guy. They'll buy it. They'll believe it for all the reasons that this guy just listed out. Let me tell you what an MLS guy is, okay? An MLS guy, beyond the obvious, right, which would be like a Landon Donovan, like these guys who were born and bred in MLS, in the establishment, their whole lives, they were made by the establishment, they work in the establishment, etc. That's the obvious one. The non-obvious one, and let me help you out now, are people who can't really get jobs outside of this ecosystem, at least not significant jobs. At least they're not big enough, right, to make it outside of the MLS nest. Okay. So yes, yeah, Steve Chirandolo, my memory serves me right, and you can fact check me in real time, Benny. He was an assistant at Stuttgart, which is when I first met him on one of my many tours to Germany. And yeah, good guy. He knows football, blah, blah, blah. And then he may have gotten the head coaching job, but for a very brief moment, either there or somewhere else in Germany. I don't remember, but it was very brief. And then he was out. And then he had a land here at the Nest, which is America, coaching USL for Las Vegas Lights, which happened to be the second team effectively of LAFC. He sucked ass at Las Vegas Lights. I don't know if he came, I think he came in last place, second to last place. But I don't want to hold that too much against him, because in football, you can come in last place and be the best manager on the face of the earth. It depends on so many factors. And it's not just players either. Another story. Then he gets hired on as the LAFC coach and spent, what'd you say, 3 years or 4 years, something like that. 4 years. Bob Bradley did a lot of work and kind of building up the foundation of that LAFC that Chirandolo inherited, but that's another point altogether. And so he has had, quote unquote, success from a career perspective, from a job perspective here at the home nest, which is the MLS ecosystem. And so if he wants to continue getting the type of salary that he would get as an MLS coach, or getting the type of salary that he would get in the MLS ecosystem, he has to play ball with MLS, because he's not going to get a job overseas. It's not going to happen. Could he land a job in Sweden, in Norway, in the second division of Belgium or so? You know what I mean? But it's like low tier jobs that maybe somebody will take a shot with him, and you're not going to make the money that MLS gives you, or you'll be invisible. You will be invisible. Do you know that, like, Bob Bradley had been coaching again in the second division of Sweden? No, second division of Norway. He went back to Stabæk, okay? He's effectively been invisible ever since he left MLS. So you don't have the platform and the profile that MLS can offer. So you are going to be a good little boy when you're the U23 Olympic team manager, which, mind you, and this is very important for people to understand, this is just a provision, kind of like a provisional thing. They're setting him up to be the senior men's national team. They're setting him up for Pochettino's job. That's the guy that they want, but they can't give him that job. Are you kidding me? Then people will blow a gasket. So how do they do it? They slide him into this thing, which seems irrelevant, innocuous, doesn't hurt anybody. Nobody will make that big of a stink. They'll say, oh, Pochettino rejected U.S. soccer's offer. He doesn't want to be here. He has a lot of club suitors. He wants to get back to club football, guys. You know, he doesn't want to do national team stuff. And so that position might remain vacant for God knows how long, 6 months, a year. Who knows how long it'll take. And they'll just maybe name Chirandolo the interim senior team coach. Just interim while we do our search or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then maybe he'll beat some CONCACAF games. He'll beat Honduras, you know, he'll beat Puerto Rico and shit like that. And then next thing you know, we did our homework. We did our research. He's the guy.
After our research, after a year, it turns out he actually is the best guy for the job, bro.
Totally.
You know what's crazy here is, I think 2 years ago when Berhalter got fired, official or out, done, and we were talking about, you know, who's going to be the next coach. I think you did bring up Steve Chirandolo. Like, yeah, they're going to try and bring in this MLS plant, MLS lapdog. And sure enough, here we are 2 years later, and now they're positioning him. Like, Gary, if Steve Chirandolo ends up becoming the national team coach, this episode's going to be fucking golden, bro. Predict everything.
Benny, I've been predicting this, all kinds of stuff. And guys, you need to understand, this is not a conspiracy. You have to understand, these aren't conspiracies. This is how business operates. This is how the business world works. This is how public relations work. This is how manufacturing consent with the public works. This is how you craft media narratives and structure and sculpt your perception of reality. That's what the media is there for. And that's why they control the media, to shape you and shape what you think and slide in ultimately what they want.
Yeah. People might say, though, to you, Gary, you know what? It is a conspiracy, because how would you know? You're not on the inside. You haven't worked with these people, so how would you know?
I have. No, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not conspiracy either, because I'm not from the outside trying to put the dots together and how all this works or whatever. Motherfucker, I've been working in the space for 30 years. Over 20 years. And specifically at those high levels, engaging with those very people that are making the decisions personally and directly for years and years and years. I have personal experience with their incentives and how they operate. I know them inside and out. I've been in the belly of the beast. I know how they maneuver. I know the machine. And furthermore, you start realizing these things, Ben, not just from those sorts of experiences, but you have to be a builder in the world. If you're a builder in any sector of the economy, in anything, way, shape, or form, if you start a project and build a business and have it, quote unquote, succeed to a certain level and be a pioneer and bump yourself up against the status quo. And it doesn't have to be in football. It could be in any field whatsoever. When you reach those sorts of situations, you start seeing a level of reality that's not accessible to you. If you have always been an employee, a 9-to-5 worker, right? You don't get to see what's happening at the decision-making level. You don't get also, Benny, if you don't reach a certain level of expertise in something, you also don't get to see how the media in general is full of shit and doesn't know what's going on. You don't see it. If you reach a certain level of expertise, when you read the media who reports on your particular expertise domain, you get to see how ignorant they are. But if you don't have a level of expertise in anything, and forgive me, it sounds arrogant, but in anything, you have no concept of how the media operates and how ignorant the media is and what the incentives in the media are, or for that matter, in your business sector. So it's that coupled with direct experience, Benny, with these people. And this is the machine.
I want to talk about Pochettino a little bit more. Some of the comments that I was also seeing was, oh, well, didn't U.S. soccer offer him full control of the Olympic team? Or didn't they offer him this and that? But guys, it wasn't reported what they offered him. So anything that you're hearing in the main, like, you don't know. You don't know what they offered him, man. And so for people to come out and say, well, like, oh, well, he was offered the team, but he didn't want it. That's MLS's way of fucking smearing him to say, like, see, look, this guy doesn't care about U.S. soccer. America.
So, yeah, that's another very good point that I'm glad you brought it up. Hopefully we plug all the holes, Benny. Hopefully you have all the holes there ready to fire at me. But, yeah, no details of what the offer was that they made Pochettino have ever come out. It was a completely general statement. They made an offer to Pochettino to be the guy for the next 4 years, period. That's all you know. You know nothing else. You don't know how much they offered him. You don't know what all the provisions and clauses in the offer are. Nothing. If you wanted to be in any way, shape, or form charitable, okay, to U.S. soccer /MLS, about making a shit offer, you could say, well, Gary, this is how negotiations work. Yeah, no shit. I've been involved in hundreds of negotiations in football. Okay. Yeah. One side low balls like crazy. The other side goes high like crazy. And you converge on something that everybody can live with and can be partially happy for, or have common ground. But that's not what's happening here. They literally just hired a U23 coach.
So sad, man. I miss Pochettino already, dude.
Yeah, man. We're going to miss him. And you know why this is happening? Oh, we haven't even addressed why. Why don't they want Pochettino?
Well, that was my next thing that I'm going to bring up, because I'm going to bring up some of these comments, Gary, as to why the American public doesn't want Pochettino. I would love Pochettino to stay another 4 years, but quite frankly, he did not earn the right to control the Olympic and youth national teams with this year's World Cup performance. This is so stupid. Had we lost in penalties to Belgium, I would be okay with it. Not thrilled. Another one says, Oh, this is in Shirondalo. But this hire makes sense. No manager outside the U.S. will take a U-23 job, and Shirondalo knows our youth system better than anyone else. A lot of the comments are saying that Pochettino doesn't know the system. So this hire makes more sense than allowing Pochettino to bring a guy in. You know, so why is everybody saying that all of a sudden Pochettino's not good enough for the U.S. national team?
These are all commonplace fan comments. They just look at superficial results. They look at superficial narratives that have been fed to them. Their brains have been wired to think a certain way. For instance, knowing the American culture, knowing the American player pool, knowing, you know what I mean? Like, these are all nonsense, superficial narratives that have been fed to these people, and they just repeat them. I wanted more talk about why they, not the supporters, not the fans, they, as in the establishment, MLS, doesn't want Pochettino and is now manufacturing this whole charade to get rid of him, okay? They don't want him because they know the most important thing or role of the U.S. men's national team head coaching position is media and narratives to craft public perception. That's what gives MLS power. And Pochettino has been saying too many things that strike at the heart of the problem of American soccer, and the heart of the problem is MLS. He's been saying too many things. The most recent and most poignant one, and you may not have heard about it, is because the media doesn't distribute it, is he literally said that MLS teams, you can have an MLS team and lose for 3 months straight, be at the bottom of the table, and there are no consequences. It doesn't matter because, and he said explicitly, because there's no promotion relegation. And so American sports breeds losers. That is the cardinal sin. That is literally Eve eating the apple of the tree of knowledge. That's literally what that is. That is the only thing that the monopoly can't have spreading too wild and having people believe. They got to get rid of him. When he first said this stuff, I think it's the first time he said this stuff, was many, many, many months ago in an interview with Andres Cantor, okay, the Spanish language broadcaster, the guy who yells goal, and everybody knows who that is. And the interview was in Spanish, and he said the same thing. Well, here, you know, MLS and, you know, the ecosystem doesn't have promotion relegation, so there's no pressure. There's, you know, the player development as a consequence of that is terrible. Nobody said a word. It didn't get spread. They all know he did that interview. They all have translations. The little video had the translation in English. Nobody said a word. But the establishment knows what he said. They don't want this guy around. Imagine giving him a contract for 4 years. And for 4 years, this guy hammers that narrative. Hey, the system is broken. And the reason it's broken is because we don't have an open ecosystem. There's no pressure here on the players. There's no meritocracy for anybody in the environment. They need him out, Ben. And what's more, it takes us back to Jurgen Klinsmann. This is why they got rid of Jurgen. It's the same goddamn thing. And folks in the audience immediately got triggered. Oh, well, Jurgen was a bad coach. Gary, no, you were fed a fucking narrative. You were fed a narrative. That's why you have this reaction. And you weren't fed a narrative just once. It was repeatedly for years. And so your neurons are now wired to immediately react and say that. Riddle me this. Jurgen Klinsmann played against Belgium also. Elimination game, round of 16 in the World Cup. They barely lost by one goal, and maybe, you know, they were very competitive. Never mind that Tim Howard was outrageous that game. But according to this Doug McIntyre parasite, oh, this loss right now is the worst one ever. So Jurgen, I guess, was better than Borch.
I think a lot of people might be wondering this too. If they don't want somebody like that at the helm, why would they bring him in the first place? Was it public perception that everybody was calling for it? That's why they acted like that?
Yeah, and this is a great thread to rant on too, Ben. Why did Pochettino get hired in the first place? They didn't want to hire Pochettino. They didn't want to get an international manager. They wanted their own laptop. They wanted Nancy, right, which had been doing good at Columbus. They wanted Shirondalo. They were floating out. The media Muppets were floating out all these trial balloons, right? All these names to see how the public would react, right? Because this is how they operate. They try to find out what's acceptable, what's not, where's the line, what can we get away with? Well, the public
was fucking so furious, finally, with the MLS lapdog that is Berhalter. And there was a significant enough narrative that was anti-MLS lapdog for the U.S. men's national team manager, in part by many, many folks. But I like to think I had something, you know, so I threw my little two cents in there over the course of the decade, that the public wasn't stupid anymore. And they're like, U.S. Soccer MLS knew that they can't get away with hiring Schrundolo or Nancy or Peter Vermees or any of these fucking guys as the next guy after Berhalter. They couldn't get away with it. They were going to get crucified. They had no choice. No choice. And so they got the English-speaking, good diplomat guy that is Pochettino. That's why they got him. Plus, he only has 18 months. So how much damage can he actually do in 18 months? Plus, they look at the silver lining, which is, well, if he fails, we win. And if he succeeds, we win.
It's almost like they wanted him to fail, though, no?
I think in many circles, yes, I think in many circles, they kind of did. But if you put it on balance, they wanted the men's national team to be ultra successful, because that's even more empowering to the monopoly. There would be no narratives about American soccer sucks, what's wrong.
Right. And then at that point, they can say, we know what we're doing, guys.
Of course.
See, we made it to the semis, you know. We'll take it from here. Thank you, Mauricio.
Of course. Of course.
Crazy, bro. Crazy. So now that the Schrundolo thing got announced, do you think in the next week or 2 weeks we're going to hear, hey, Mauricio Pochettino has decided not to stay on with U.S. soccer? Like, what do you think will happen next?
Yeah, it's going to be something like that. It's like, yeah, you know, you like to think Mauricio, you know, he did spectacularly well. He has more World Cup wins for the U.S. men's national team than any manager in history. We won an elimination game. We ran up against an extraordinary Belgium side. So they're going to be all professional, all cordial, and say things like they left the program in a better shape than it was. It's all going to be rosy. Benny, I mean, official U.S. soccer channel is just going to say those things, and we wish him all the best, right? Then the media lapdogs are going to come out and craft narratives for public perception, which is, hey, U.S. soccer, we made him an offer. He just didn't want it. He wanted to move on. We all know that he has interests from top tier clubs overseas. We reported on this back in the day, you know, when Milan supposedly were having chats with his people, and he just doesn't want us. That's what they're going to say. They're going to paint him in that sort of dark sort of picture.
Yeah. So sad, man. So sad. Instead of thank you, Mauricio, for waking us up a little bit, man.
No, you know what's really gross, Ben, is I saw, and I usually almost never listen to English, these Muppets, okay? But something came across my feed, and for whatever reason, oh, it was automated. I think I was shaving my head or something, and the reels just kept going and going. And this dude, Rob Stone, shows up on a reel, and I'm like, fuck, but my hands were kind of dirty with hair and stuff, and I didn't want to scroll it away. So I just let it go, and I'm looking, and the guy is literally, he's alone, right? In hotel room or his house or whatever. And he's, you know, he's reading off a script. Okay. This was maybe a couple days ago before the Schrundolo announcement. He's reading off a script there, painting the narrative, painting the picture that we've spent 50 minutes painting for the establishment, and threw out the name Schrundolo. He's like, and now it's time for Steve, you know, somebody like Steve or Steve himself to take over the reins and see what he can do and give him a chance or give him an opportunity. I don't think he mentioned U23. I think he mentioned the senior team. We're going to have to look up the clip here because I don't want to speak out of turn and inject it. And people should do their homework also.
So where do we go from here? Yes, that was a brutal way to conclude what had been an impressive and unifying type run by the U.S. men's national team. They played with heart and grit. They were fearless. They captured the nation's attention. They made us believe in them again. They made us say, yes, why not us? They created millions of new fans, not just the team, but the sport. But in the end, we still don't have enough talent. The lack of depth was concerning. Our youth national teams need to be producing players that can cut it at this level. And they need to be doing it consistently. We need to figure out who our next manager is going to be. If Mauricio Pochettino does come back, I think most are fine with that. If not, keep an eye on American Steve Cherundolo. We need to win Gold Cups and get into Copa Americas and go deep in that tournament. We can't let the momentum created by the summer slip away. Still 10 games to go this summer, so don't fold up this World Cup tent just yet. Keep watching and keep demanding more from your national team.
Before the announcement.
Okay? So already looped in. So gross. And he was reading off a script. You know how I go off the cuff, and I always go off the cuff. There is no script ever with anything. He was reading off a teleprompter, Ben. And you know what's really crazy? And I couldn't believe what I was watching also. I'm like, this motherfucker has been in broadcasting, I don't know, I'm going to throw out a number, 20 years. This is what he's been doing forever, being a broadcaster, being a talking person in front of a camera. Dude has no skill. He has no skills, which goes back to what I was saying originally about these people. They have no skills. He has no skills. He has no skills in the thing that he's been doing for 20 years. He was monotone, no passion, no charisma, no heart. He doesn't feel it. There's nothing there. He's just a vacuous vessel being used by the power brokers. It's so gross, man. I don't know how these people live with themselves, Ben. It's so gross. And it's so gross that they're pointing the finger at the players too. Do I think the players had a great performance? No. Do I need to go and be trashing Christian Pulisic or trashing McKinney or trashing these guys? No. That's not the problem. Those guys aren't the problem. You think that they didn't want to win? Do you think that they didn't want to compete? Of course they wanted to win. Of course they wanted to compete. You think they didn't try to give it their all? Hey, maybe they gave up a little bit too soon because, well, their mentality isn't Argentine mentality. But it doesn't mean that they didn't try. They just don't have the mentality. They're just not good enough. But the way that they treat the players is disgusting. And the reason they're treating the players this way is so that they can blame something else and have the public blame something else instead of themselves.
It's actually pretty genius on their behalf, no?
This is a classic playbook.
They're masters at it, Gary.
That's what they're good at.
Tell the audience why this is so important, Gary, this hire. Because I think some people will say like, oh, well, it's just a U23 team and, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Why is this so important, Gary?
The national team, youth national teams, and the senior, obviously, is the biggest platform in soccer, okay? In American soccer, especially. And so what that affords, the monopoly, it affords them the biggest gatekeeping mechanism as to who they elevate and who they do not elevate, who they can crown and make successful, and who they can bury and destroy and send into obscurity forever. What does that mean? The obvious one is from a player perspective. They get to pick and choose who they elevate and give the window, the showcase, the platform to. Oh, well, Gary, it's the best players. It's the best players that go. No, it's not, guys. No, it's not. It's who they choose, right? And once they choose those players, they get elevated and the whole public at large believes, well, they're on the national team, so they're the best players. And when you're on the national team at your respective clubs, the respective clubs, which aren't even clubs, they're franchises, if we're talking about MLS, they have no choice effectively but to continue elevating that player and give them more and more and more opportunities, even if they're doing poorly, because, well, they're a national team player. We're going to look like buffoons if we don't even play our national team player. So they crown who makes it. And they, you know, obviously they keep down people that they don't want to make it. That is why it's so important. And so MLS obviously has a huge interest, the biggest interest in controlling the national teams. That includes the youth national teams.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw an Olympic roster that had 95% MLS players.
Sure, sure. But even Benny, it doesn't have to be like a quota either. They'll just pick and choose depending on public perception, depending on how things are at the time. Because like you, this commenter said, and you brought it up too, the Noah Kai Banks situation, yeah? Center back. Okay. How old is he? Do you know how old he is? 21? I don't even know. But I'm sure he's a U.S. Olympic age for sure. 19. Yeah. Well, they're not going to bring an MLS guy just because it's an MLS guy, right, as a center back. No. The best story is bring in this, the Noah Kai Banks kid, and look how awesome we are. You know what I mean? And look, we don't favor MLS. We're going out and going to get that guy over there. But you see, it's all contorted. The reality is not what's shown.
And as if Noah Kai Banks is a world-class player that's going to make such a huge difference. Like,
correct.
It's one player, bro. One player's. You guys are excited about the hire because the potential to get one player. Is Noah Kai Banks going to help us win the World Cup? I don't think so.
No, man. No, that's the thing. You get excited because of pedigree, because of paper, because of stats, which is what the MLS target demographic has to rely on because they don't know football. They're like, oh, well, Gary, he plays in the Bundesliga at 19. He's the best. Or he's special. Well, you haven't been following football very, very much then if you think he's special. You know how many 19-year-olds are playing first division football at top leagues in the world? There's a lot. It doesn't even have to be now. Historically speaking, over the course of the 30, 35 years that I've been studying this thing inside and out, you know how many players that I've seen that have been 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, young, quote unquote, young, super young players who are cracks, right? In their respective first division teams in big leagues around the world who end up being like whatever. Most all of them are like end up being whatevers. But you get all excited. Look, everybody all excited, but Christian Pulisic this, Christian Pulisic that. Blah, blah. Oh my God, world class. He should have been on the top 100 players in the world from the Guardian article. And blah, blah, blah. Gary, you're an idiot. He's on Milan. He's on fire. He scores all these goals or whatever. And now what do you think of him? Yeah, exactly. Oh, Gary, ha, 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 6 years ago, you said Weston McKennie isn't good enough or whatever. And now what do you think? These people haven't seen enough. They don't know enough. I don't blame them, but it does get kind of annoying, you know, when they come after those of us who've actually been practitioners forever at very deep levels. When they go after Eric Winalda, I get pissed off. Like, bro, some fucking a non-nobody or some youth coach or whatever the fuck, you know, who hasn't done shit worthy of remark, goes after Eric Winalda. Eric Winalda, you don't know shit. You're just salty. You're the fuck? You have an opportunity to engage with somebody like Eric Winalda, but because you've been so brainwashed by the MLS indoctrinated monopoly bullshit, you've been so brainwashed by parasites like Doug McIntyre that you see Eric Winalda as the enemy. Eric Winalda is the solution, is part of the solution. He's part of the good guys. Even if he and I don't agree on a whole bunch of things, which I know for a fact, he's one of the good guys. And you're shitting on him. You haven't done shit yourself, and you're shitting on a guy.
Any holes that we miss, Gary, in regards to this whole Shirandolo situation?
Yeah. Well, Gary, how is MLS the problem with U.S. men's national team failure and stuff, aside from everything we already laid out? You have to understand that with an open ecosystem, promotion and relegation, also known as promotion and relegation, a truly open ecosystem, not only does the cream actually start rising to the top, and not only do players get better because things are outrageously more competitive, right? And everybody earns their place, coaches, business, everybody earns their place, and that's when the cream rises to the top. Not only that, but for those who say, how is MLS the problem? We had most Europeans on the U.S. men's national team. Yeah, but you didn't have an abundance of talent to pick from. You had to pick Christian. You had to pick McKennie. You had to pick Anthony Robinson because those are the only ones available because our player pool is shit because we have a closed ecosystem. If we had an open ecosystem, we would have 3, 4, 5 Christian Pulisics, 3, 4, 5 Weston McKennies, 15 Serginho Dests, you know what I'm saying? 12 Anthony Robinsons. Obviously, I'm being a little bit hyperbolic, but you wouldn't just have one. You know what I mean? You wouldn't just have such a limited supply. And we can go on forever. Another thing that an open ecosystem does, when you want to get players, say, overseas, okay, to Europe, for instance, let's stick with the United States. Let's say there's a highly rated prospect. He's incredibly good. He could be in Europe, no problem. He's 19 or 18 or 17 or 21 or whatever. When you have a closed ecosystem like MLS, they have so much power that they can do what they've historically done is basically block transfers, torpedo transfers, because of so many reasons. But I'll give you one reason. When you're an agent
player agent trying to operate in this ecosystem, your leverage is lessened. If you're from the outside, okay, is lessened because you don't have leverage over MLS. You can't just say, right, well, I'll just take them to Portland Timbers, or I'll take them to FC Dallas, or I'll take them to some other MLS team, because they're all part of the same team. So you're held powerless. And if you want to transfer the player overseas, it's MLS has ultimate decision of whether the player goes or doesn't go. And if it doesn't fit their narrative, if it doesn't fit their storyline, if it goes against power centralization, they will block it. And the other thing that they'll do is that they, since they have the monopoly, the brainwashing of the players themselves and the players' families is incredibly high because it's one storyline. You don't get competing storylines. So with an open ecosystem, you don't have agents that are fully compromised. The American agents are fully compromised. The agents in America, Benny, are fully compromised, just like the media is compromised. They don't even work for the interest of the player. They'll work for the interest of the league, because the league will reward them for working for the interest of the league. So even if there were options overseas for their particular player, A, they might not even bring it up to them. B, if they bring it up to them, they'll say, if it fits, right? It's not a good fit. It's not a good chill. This is not a good time. You know, you're doing good at RSL. Resign with RSL for another 4 years. It's a good deal. You know what I mean? It's all connected, guys. It's all connected.
You said a line, you don't have leverage if you're on the outside as a player agent. Does that mean that there are agents inside MLS that are MLS guys, like, no matter what, I'm keeping my players here in MLS. I am aligned with MLS. I will.
There's everything under the sun. So first, I want to correct you. If I said it wrong, I want to correct myself then. It's not that agents from the outside don't have leverage here with MLS. That's not entirely true. They do, in the sense that if they have multiple players within MLS who are high-profile players, there is some leverage there. Because MLS will think twice about crossing this particular agent or agency if they want to do business with this agent or agency in the future. There is leverage. Don't get me wrong, okay? But power is so centralized here that the leverage is a lot lessened. Okay, so let me correct that. And if you're, and that's it. That's only if you're a super powerful agent, Ben, who is dealing with the Gareth Bales of the world, who is dealing with, you know, the Messis of the world, or I'm talking about DP level people. And what was your second question about are there American only
that are inside MLS that are like tied to MLS?
And... Oh yeah, you're fucked. Oh yeah, you're completely, if you don't have a network outside of MLS, if you don't have some sort of strength where you can actually get interest in your clients from overseas, you have no choice. You're MLS's bitch. You will do exactly what you're told. Even if you are a powerful American-based agency, Ben, that has significant leverage, okay, because you have satellite offices around the world and you represent big time players that are outside of MLS, even that instance, if you're an American-based company, American-based agency, they comport themselves as a partner to MLS. They're partners, because could they do damage to MLS? Yes, but that's not really good for them. And could MLS damage them? Yeah, but that's not really good for MLS either. So the dynamics are such that they effectively become partners, which sucks, because your fundamental fiduciary duty is to your client, period. And not maneuver your client to best fit MLS's interests or to best fit your own business interests. But unfortunately, that's what we have. Oh, Gary, that's how it is around the world. I can hear people right now.
I know this would be an entire episode, Gary, but maybe if you could just give us a quick answer, then we can touch on this more in the future. What was your experience like working with MLS franchises as a player agent? You don't have to give us any specific details at all, but just generalization of what was it like working with MLS as a player agent?
Well, it's quite difficult to give an answer that is in line with our conversation here, because, you know, I'll put it to you this way. For the most part, they're professional. They comport themselves quite professionally, okay? Not as professional as my experiences overseas, but they are professional. Until you fight too hard for your client And then it doesn't, it's not very professional anymore. It actually gets really dark really fast.
What do you mean by professional though?
Professional meaning, you know, cordial, respectful to a certain degree, you know, professional, Benny. But they turn unprofessional pretty quickly.
And overseas that doesn't happen? Like if you were to come back with the counter overseas and say, you're trying to get the most for your player, right?
No, I have not had a single experience overseas, maybe marginally. There is one instance of hundreds of interactions that I had where maybe I sensed friction. I sensed frustration, maybe once, okay? But out of hundreds of situations, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Straight and even keeled.
I'm ready for you to start writing your book, bro.
Nah, it's I don't want to write a book, man. I've heard stories of how complicated that is and what a mess. And nobody reads nowadays, Benny. Who reads?
All right.
There's nothing else, right? No other holes to plug with the Shrundalo or Jadino thing, right?
I had a bunch of stuff, but you basically touched on most of it. One of them was this. Let's see. Poach. This isn't a comment to your expos. Poach, just like Berhalter and especially Klinsmann before him, didn't care about the U.S. pipeline. That's the problem. They think Europeans develop players better and the U.S. system is a lost cause. So they focus all of their time and energy recruiting kids in Europe with dual citizenship to join U.S. Now there's somebody else coming out and saying Poach doesn't care about the U.S. player pipeline.
Well, first off, how would you know? It's amazing how many mind readers we have in the audience. And I could have a semblance of respect for quote unquote mind reading if you yourself have been an operator, a legit operator in any respect in the ecosystem. But I don't know who this person is. Although I know that the vast majority of people are not operators and they make stupid comments like that. Secondly, do I believe that? Not really. I think these coaches did care and they wanted to nurture the pipeline and they wanted to talk because these are footballing people, Benny. They want to talk about what they see in the ecosystem that they're operating in and they want to talk about solutions to the ecosystem that they're operating in and they want to help any way that they can to deploy solutions in the ecosystem that they're operating in. This happens across the world. You always see it with all the national team managers or most, I would say, national team managers. They actually do care. Otherwise, they wouldn't even talk about it. They wouldn't even waste an ounce of energy trying to help. So did they care? I do believe they cared. Absolutely. And yes, the only thing that this person is right about is trying to recruit dual nationals insofar as the U.S. is concerned because, again, the pipeline is broken. It's toxic. It's cancerous. It doesn't develop high-quality players. So what are you going to do? You have no choice. You have to go to the exterior. But that doesn't mean that you don't care about what's happening in your own backyard.
If anything, it means that you care more because you're trying to better the future state of American soccer, of U.S. soccer. Like I don't know where these people get these ideas from, man. Oh, Pochettino doesn't care about the U.S. winning a World Cup. Guys, he's coaching a World Cup on home soil. Why would he not want to win? Why would he not care about winning? It was the biggest of his life, bro. He doesn't care.
You remember, Benny, when the news broke that supposedly there were talks with AC Milan. You remember that whole thing. They turned it into a debacle. They turned it into he doesn't give a shit about us. He doesn't care, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all a psychological operation, a psyops. See, now they're going to think I'm some crazy cuckoo guy. This is how it works, guys. Okay. I think we covered it, Benny. Are there any other comments from folks? No?
I think I nailed them all. Yeah. All right, man. Well, unless we're completely wrong, I'm going to miss you, Pochettino. It's been fun.
That's a good thing to bring up. Could we be wrong? No, we're not wrong. But could he potentially sign on or be here, you know, extend his contract or something? Yes, but that doesn't make what we said wrong at all. It could simply be a matter of
Pochettino assesses his situation, assesses his options. Maybe he found that he was very happy here in the United States of America. Maybe he discovered that he really likes being a national team manager and not a club manager. Maybe his family, himself, are like, you know what? This is really nice. It's really chill. I'll take on this project, you know, 4 more years instead of having the grueling, high-pressure, day-in and day-out intense environment of club football. And he accepts the gig, even if he doesn't get the power and control that he would like. You don't know. That's totally a possibility. How many of us have accepted jobs that maybe pay less or aren't optimal or whatever for reasons that have nothing to do with, you know, it's not the perfect scenario? Happens all the time. So could he accept the job? Could he get an extension? Yes. Does that mean that we were wrong or are wrong with our assessment? Absolutely not.
So do you think he'll stay, Gary? Or
no. What?
No?
The cards have been lined up. And from my vantage point, this Steve Cherundolo thing was really the dagger in the heart right there. It's a fucking supernova of a signal.
Yeah. His death sentence might have been when he came out and said, American sports rewards losers. You know, what are the consequences if there's no promotion relegation? That might have been the point when U.S. soccer says, all right, no, we cannot.
MLS said that.
Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah. And look, as Eric Guinalda or Tab Ramos, was it, also made a good point, even though it doesn't strike at the issue. He's like, hey, where's the real accountability? Why is everybody pointing the finger at the players or the coach? At least Tab and Eric, I think it was Eric, I think Tab for sure, is going a level higher and saying, guys, why don't we look at who hired Pochettino? Why aren't you holding those people accountable? If you think Pochettino's not good enough or was the wrong decision, why aren't you holding the people higher up accountable? And it's something that I've been saying forever. Who hired the guy who hired the guy who hired the guy? Where does the buck really stop? But Tab stops short of going further and saying, well, even if you hold Cindy Parlow-Cohn accountable and ask for her head and that she should resign as U.S. soccer president or whatever, that doesn't matter. I mean, it's progress at least, but it doesn't matter because Sunil Gulati resigned when the U.S. men's national team did not qualify for the World Cup 2 cycles ago. He had to go. There was so much pressure. He had to go. But look at what MLS does/U.S. soccer does. You just get another Muppet in that position. The position isn't the critical thing. That's just a puppet.
What is the most important position in U.S. soccer? The MLS commissioner?
No, because he's a puppet too. He's just an employee.
Yeah.
It's the monopoly. It's the institution that now is MLS. It is the monopoly that needs to be zoomed in on and confronted. And the main weapon to do that, the most effective weapon, is the same weapon of anything in the world, okay? It's narratives. It's the media. The people have the power, Benny. But in order for the people to leverage the power, they first have to identify the problem and then get pissed off enough to do something about it. And the only way that they're going to identify the problem and how to resolve it is if they have the narratives, the people telling the story of what the problem actually is. So who should we all be focusing on? We should be focusing on ourselves and doing our jobs, right? And educating the public about this. But secondarily, attacking the counteracting narrative, attacking the quote unquote journalists, the reporters, the media Muppets. They need to be attacked because they are the ones who are the last line of defense for the monopoly. They are the ones programming people. They are the ones manufacturing consent. They are the ones enabling the monopoly. They need to be attacked.
Good place to end it right there, Gary.
Okay, cool. Till next time. Well, that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening. A reminder for coaches, you can get both the free and premium coaching programs at 343coaching.com. Don't let anyone tell you your teams can't win by playing dominant possession-based football while also developing individual players to the highest levels. Nonsense. We've proved it at every single level,
and so have hundreds of serious member coaches across the country. Now that we've moved on to the pro level, we're delivering everything we've learned in the program. Don't wait and continue delaying getting on a proven path. And parents, 343masterclass.com is where you want to go to get a working compass for navigating the American soccer landscape with your player. It's pretty bad out there, but let our experience guide you. Lastly, if you're coaching 7v7, we've got you covered there as well. Go to 7v7coaching.com. Until next time, cheers everyone, and keep building.